ever-living God, help us to witness faithfully to your love and your way of all our lives. Open our eyes and our hearts to hope for the future. Amen.
L'chaim. Patrice is here. Yay.
Hello.
It's Gossip Thursday.
She walked into the house, saw that we have a tent downstairs.
Yes.
Knows that our house is going to be a mess with camping equipment for quite a while.
Or you're getting evicted.
Somebody wrote me saying make sure you air out your tent. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it gets moldy and you know, it'll immediately ruin. So I take the tent thinking it really didn't get that wet at all, right?
It didn't. No.
It's probably like that morning time condensation kind of thing.
Maybe. So yeah. I put it over our grill, mm-hmm. and then I look at it a couple hours later, and it ended up raining.
Not regular rain either. Right. That was end of the world type mm-hmm. business.
So it made it worse. And now it's airing out in the house.
And you fell, have a wet tent
in the house. It fell over when I came back. I was hanging out. I came back, and I'm like, why is our tent over all over our neighbor's lawn? So I picked up a piece of it, and I come upstairs, and then Keith gets into this mode where if something fucks up, he just sometimes goes a little nuts because it's like something that shouldn't have been fucked up. So he goes, I'm an idiot. Why would I? Of course it's going to rain. It's going to rain.
Now it's wetter. It's dirtier. If I just would have left it in there.
Well, you put it up tomorrow. You start over.
We learned about the underground pig, and he did not fare so good.
Excuse me?
When we were at the barbecue, they made two pigs. One was 90 pounds on a spit.
Right.
Just, you know, roasting over fire. And one, we dug a hole. I helped dig the hole.
Like
we
the
dug
Hawaiians.
A hole. Yeah, and, you know, put it in foil, rocks, whatever. Mm-hmm. We covered it up. And we couldn't stay for the second unveiling, you know, the unveiling of that pig. And so I had to get the report because Keith was upset. You know, he wanted to see what that
turns
out.
Buried pig?
Exactly. So, and I helped, you know, bury it and cover it and whatever. So I'm excited too. Turns out when they dug the hole up, there was a smell so foul. They would just put the
fire went out or something.
No, the fire was going. It just, you know, it was cooked on top and not on bottom, and it just smelled like
we probably need
bad
a smaller pick for that.
Which in hindsight makes perfect sense because you're not rotissering it.
Right.
You know, when you cook the pig on top of the fire, you're turning it around. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. I'm guessing. What do I know? Nobody's ever cooked underground before that I know of. But you still have to turn it. That makes sense.
No,
it's going to be burnt and half
raw. Totally bury it in hot rocks and accept that the outside's going to be charred.
Really?
And then the inside meat is what's good.
Yeah, I think maybe I think it has something to do with hot rocks
and
all
banana
around
leaves.
That we didn't do.
I don't think you can do it in the States. I don't think we have the right climate. I think you need the more sandy sand.
Oh, no.
Kind of dirt.
You haven't met Ben by next year. Because the first time we
I've met Ben.
In the wilderness.
Oh, wilderness Ben.
Yeah, wilderness Ben is some shit. When we first made that pig, when we first went to that campground, this is like years ago, the pig was not edible. By the next time he went, he was right there.
He had the pig down.
Yeah, so next year, we're eating buried pig.
Oh my.
I was kind of glad, though, to hear that the pig didn't come out good.
Yeah, because you weren't there, that's
right.
Why.
Yeah.
It's all spirit.
My left pocket writes, Keith, I think your listeners should start a new Keith and the Girl drinking game. Every time one of you say the phrase, by the way, the listeners have to chug a beer or down a shot.
Someone's going
to
die of alcohol poisoning.
Also, when the phrase, I've/we've said this before, is said, the listeners have to chug the beer from the person to the left of them.
Now, we do that, and I'll tell you why we do mm-hmm. that. We don't want every time we say something that we may have mentioned before to get like a zillion letters going, you know, you already said.
Right.
We do this every day. So there's
going to
be some repeats.
We might repeat a couple of points.
And to make a point, a lot of times you do have to, repeat some of the story.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'd feel bad about doing that. Or like, you know, maybe, you know, some of this point is in my stand-up or some of this point, you know, is in my book.
Just understand that I know that you may have heard a piece of this before, but it is important to the next thing that I'm about to say.
So maybe we'll try to curtail that sentence. I realize every time I say it. But I have, you know, a long time ago lived quite well with the fact that, you know, while I say, you know, in my stand-up, I'll never repeat stuff. Things are going to be repeated on the show, or things won't come out mm-hmm. of my mouth. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't think what I'm going to say.
Right.
So that's all. Now, if the phrase is said, by the way, and I've said this before, then oh, hell, I don't know what the listeners should do. Chug their own beer down their own shot and chug the beer from the person on the right. Great shows. Keep up the hard work. It's paying off. Well, at least the humor is there. I hope the money is soon following behind. The end. My left pocket.
He wrote D-N?
Yeah, D-E-E.
That's a funny thing he wrote.
Speaking of stand-up, though, something I and I'll be good, I promise, until next week. But something we forgot to mention about Last Comic Standing and how it's, you know, obviously rigged. And you would have, and the comics that you're like, I recognize this guy, and you know he's going to the next level. Never mind that interview always gives it away, you know, if they show an interview. I think that person's going
to
move on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Before they get on stage to audition, that's the person that you're going to care about. You know,
that little quick cut backstage.
Yeah, you know, my dad died last year, but I think funny is what's making him kind of, I feel like he's still here through my funny.
He was a funny man.
I'm like, you're in.
Yeah,
shit.
I guess we'll see you in the next round. So there's that. And the people that, you know, are already famous or semi-famous that are going to the next round, they would let them tell a story of their joke. Mm-hmm. Other people that weren't famous, they are cut literally mid-sentence. Mm. Buck Starr flies from place to place, and whether he's a douche or not, he goes on there and goes, I'm Buck Starr, and this is the Buck Starr Show, and he's about to tell his jokes, and they go, get off the stage. Is that all you got? Yeah, that's all he got.
Right.
If he was putting together a show, he would go, hi, I'm Buck Starr, welcome to the Buck Starr Show. And that was the Buck Starr Show. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I don't mind that he starts it like that. In fact, that's his thing. Just like everyone else has their thing, pretty much. And in fact, when he gets on stage, I think, you know, because of this, everyone's going to go, when he goes, I'm Buck Starr, everyone's going to go, and welcome to the Buck Starr Show. And then he starts the comedy.
That'll be his tagline, yeah.
And I didn't
Hickory Dickory Dock. That's all you got? No, there's more. That's all you got. I'll see you next year.
Right. And then also, they don't give him credit. I don't know if, Keith, you've noticed this, because I think this is kind of your thing. He actually tells a joke based on what he went through that day.
Right.
Which I think is cool. Like, that means he's constantly writing, and they're not even listening.
Right.
Like, he's actually funnier than some of the people they let through.
I wouldn't get him on this show. No joke.
That would be great.
I don't see why we can't.
I mean, he flies anyway. His father will give him another plane ticket to come somewhere.
Wasn't the deal with the Last Comic Standing, this is what, the third season? Wasn't the deal the first season that you had to be an unknown?
No.
No, that
was a lie.
Was
that was just as rigged. These people already had their half-hour specials.
So it's like a Laguna Beach kind of reality. It's not.
It's we were saying
if we have to compare to another MTV thing, yes. Yeah. On this fucking show.
It's the Laguna Beach of the situation.
Full of adults.
Just to recap real quick for Patrice. It's for all these people that get put in this house or whatever situation, have managers.
Oh, they're in a house together.
I think they're doing that again. But that's what they used to do. But they have managers. It's like record companies when they used to put money, you know, to play your song. That's what this is. And we're hoping at the end the voting's legit, but the beginning isn't. They do act like, you know, this is your fucking chance. It's not your chance.
Right. The comedians are legit, though.
Right. Okay. And we said we're rooting for Joey Gay, and somebody wrote me.
Oh, Joey Gay's in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Joey Gay made it through. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, not to the final round. He might not be in the house, but I think he's going to be.
Those are some chompers on Joey Gay.
Yeah,
he got big teeth.
Yeah.
I want to know if they were knocked out in the bar fight.
There's a story. There's a real good story with that.
But he does. People were saying, people wrote, like, I don't know if I like him. You know, you say you like him.
He opened up for Keith's CD and was so. First CD, it was so good about it.
Right.
Like Keith said it, even on your liner notes or whatever, he cared more about saying the right thing for Keith and how the sound was for Keith than his actual act, which I thought was so cool.
And the act was still funny.
Yeah, and it was still good.
I wonder if on this show, though, he's exaggerating it more.
Oh, to be like the Brooklyn, New York
guy? I don't know, like he's fucking selling these jokes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little heads up while we follow his whatever.
Well, it took me a minute to realize that he's not actually a gypsy. I had to accept that.
Oh, he was in that gypsy play.
Oh, he was in the gypsy play with us. Like, he was very good.
Oh, his voice is different. Oh, that's crazy. He was acting.
But yeah, the fake voice always bothers me. Not, I don't mean him, just in general. Remember that guy, the comic we had on? I forget his name. From Alabama?
Yes.
I thought he was very funny on the show. I think he's a normal person. And we saw his stand-up, and we're like, why are you doing a fake voice? This is what me and Hemda thought. We're like, just be normal. You're fine.
Yeah.
Don't do a fake voice. It reminds me of these podcasts. And people would listen to radio, and they're like, aren't you sick of fucking radio and how fake it is? And now we can do a podcast and be real. And now these people do the radio shows in their house, and what do? They put on the fake radio voice.
Hey, it's another Keith and the Girl show, and we have Patrice here. Patrice, how are you?
I'm good.
I got Keith on my right. It's quite exciting. We had quite the eventful day. Let's get started.
It's all clear on the BQE. 4 o'clock show. Let's cut to chopper 5.
My computer, the mouse. Remember I said that we had this virus thing, I thought.
You've got viruses. Oh, no, I'm leaving.
The Amish virus?
My computer will start opening and closing windows.
It's just cleaning up.
And there's nothing scarier because it could be opening up, you know, my latest version of my book, and then the delete buttons get clicked or something like that. I don't know what's going on. It's the mouse, I realized last night.
Oh.
It's a wireless mouse, and for some reason it goes nuts.
It stutters or something.
Yeah, it just starts clicking shit. Mm-hmm. So I have to take them. When I figured out what it was, I'm covering the mouse like a grenade.
No, and, don't touch it.
Right, and everything stops. And we're waiting for him to, you know, walk in the room, be like, what? And I'm like, the computer, it's going fucking crazy.
Taking out the batteries never occured to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, everything's fucking clicking, so you don't have time to take out the battery. You got to run to the next room and dive. Right.
Yeah, you got to hug it.
Throw it out the window.
Hi, Keith and the girl. I have a similar story to your Hemda digging the hole. It's a new world story when we were digging the hole for the pig. You know,
yeah,
people are like,
and everyone's bothering Keith because it's a woman doing it instead of a guy.
I was dropping my
Meanwhile, the guys are talking to Keith about why is the girl doing it. Well, you're a guy too. Whatever.
I was dropping my girlfriend off from a date, and as I lead her to the front door, I jokingly say, and because it is your birthday, I won't beat you tonight.
That's funny. I like that.
She ignores it like she normally ignores my clever comments.
I love how all guys are the same.
We think it's so fucking funny.
Threatening to beat me is funny when you don't really beat me.
I guess I'm not really getting beat. You can have that. We then see her neighbor near the fence shake his head in disgust, looking directly at my girlfriend, and walk back into the house. He has ignored her friendly waves ever since that day.
Oh, shit.
Actually, my favorite joke is the golden oldie. What do you tell a woman with two black eyes? Nothing, you already told her twice.
I love that joke. That is a good one.
Which I once told to a group of relatives in front of my young cousin, whose mom used to get hit by her husband. My cousin just stared at me with sad eyes and said, but my mom... and then trailed off. Aww. I felt terrible, but still slept well at night because I have a nice pillow. Thanks, Tyro.
There you go. God. Thank you, Tyro. My personal favorite is the New York version. I wouldn't hit it if she made the sauce right.
there's a weird part in his whole email is that instead of being mad at the guy who told the joke, the neighbor didn't wave to the girl who's
to the girl.
Getting
yeah,
beat.
Like, I can't be involved with you.
Because he's sick of girls that take this.
Yes.
Right.
He's like, you disgust
silly
me.
Bitches.
Right.
I don't know.
He should hug her and take her in his home, away from the beatings.
Dear Keith and Hemda, what's up? It's Glorious Night from the forums, live show chat again. I thought you guys would enjoy this story. This is the titty twister guy.
Oh, that everybody, like, in high school at some point, were nipple twisting. Right. But he got over it because he shot up.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, I broke up with my girlfriend.
Oh.
I'd been meaning to do that for about a year, but I'm a pussy, and so I never really did it until Tuesday.
I'm glad he admitted it.
Why did I break up with her? The main reason is that she's immature and annoying, and that also the relationship just sort of occurred because she kept on being persistent. I didn't have much choice in the matter. She just sort of decided to take it wherever she wanted to.
She raped you?
And like I said before, I'm essentially a pushover. Anyway, so I may not seem too bad. I just broke up with her. She even seemed pretty okay with it. I broke up with her on AIM because I figured I'd soften the blow a tiny bit by having to see me say it instead of having to say it right to her face.
Oh, what softened the blow? The frown face on IM? Oh, my God.
Did you Lola cost her after you finished breaking up with her? You're not even a pussy. You're a vagina.
The next day, I came into the only class I have with her, and she was rather nice.
She's cheating on him.
Has rather nice-looking clothes on. It's not really fazed by it. I'm not really fazed by it. I continue on with my day as usual. Then today, Thursday, she comes into band, hangs out, and talks to some people for a bit, and then comes over to me. My friend, who also listens to Keith and the Girl, is sitting right nearby. She says to me the following, my grandma died on Tuesday. Then she gives me a hug, to which I privately protested, and walks away. Instantly, my friend bursts out at me, saying, hey, ha, I bet you feel bad now you broke up with her on the day her grandma died. Then he proceeded to say that I should email you guys about it.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, though, I don't entirely care. I kind of feel bad for her that her grandma died, but hell, I don't even know if that's entirely true. From the experiences I've had, girls often try to lie to get someone to feel bad for them. I knew a girl that I'm pretty sure was telling me that she felt that there were skeletons that were going to get her or something.
That's not a lie. Come on.
So my question is, what do you guys think? Do you think she's just being a bitch and trying to make me like her again? Or do you think that actually happened, Tim?
I think, who cares?
Yeah. We're such
you
big
hate
words.
Her for a year. Who cares?
In my professional opinion, Tim, you're a vagina. She was wearing her fuck you outfit the next day.
That's right. That's right. Like, you broke up with me. Look how good
it's
I look.
It's called the fuck you outfit. It has a name. And yeah, she, her grandmother might have really died. I don't even know you. You're not that cute. You're not cute enough for that.
I say that you even question if she's lying or not to you. Fuck her.
Like,
fuck
who cares?
Fuck
who
her either way. Yeah. The fact that you still have periods in school means that you could just say fuck her and move on with it.
Right. Right. I say if she tells you again about that the grandma died, go, oh, so you think we should fuck?
Yeah. Was she old enough?
And then give her a titty twist.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Turn it around on her.
People are fucking liars. We met the Suck a Dick Wednesday couple today, right?
Yeah,
and
cool.
The guy, by the way, it being Thursday, he still had that Wednesday smile on his face.
Yeah. That's love.
But
by the way, their pictures, I think, do them no justice.
I agree.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that I recognize
that
them, but I was like, huh, that's a more handsome couple, and they don't look so bad in the pictures either.
Right.
Yeah, and she's got Patrice.
Giant.
I'm just gonna
the
get,
mouth on her?
No, I'm just getting...
Giant titties?
No, not giant titties. I'm going to get a little girly for a second. She had the best hair I have ever
really?
Seen. Ever.
She's a redhead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember her hair.
People
she had
pay
nice
millions
hair.
Of dollars
she
for that
nice
hair.
She had nice hair. I remember her hair.
Okay, that's at the end. Sorry,
she had nice
continue.
Hair. He knows. That's all he sees. So very nice girl. She, but she's...
Not nice.
They were coming from where? Georgia.
Right.
He was... Well, I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Well, there's a layover, and he's going to continue going
layover.
North. Yeah, I know, with a bus. That's hilarious to me. There's a layover. That's how we met them. They're just, staying there in New York for like 3 hours, and then he continues his journey up north. She, however...
They both took a Greyhound bus, the same bus.
Yeah.
Wow.
She, however, her layover is also a couple of hours, and then she gets back on a bus and goes back where she just came from.
Oh, no.
So she just took the trip to be in New York for like 3 hours, and by the way... We did not leave the station because it was pouring rain.
Right.
So
okay. Well, there's stuff in there, but just like eating stuff. Right?
So there's two ways to look at it. One, you are really in love with this guy. You know?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you're going to stand in line with Keith at Last Comic Standing. You must love him. She's taking a fucking day and whatever bus ride. Today and whatever
with
bus
only, like,
back.
A 3 hour layover in between.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You've got to be fucking sick of sitting.
Or, to have an ego for a second, she was willing to come up to see us because she thought that'd be cool. What possibly could we do to make that worthwhile?
Just we should have wore clown suits. You should show up in the clown gear and just start... Rah, da, 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 da.
I mean, they're a lot of fun. We were laughing it up, but we leave and I'm like, I think
that's
failed.
It, you know?
Yeah, how could we not disappoint?
I would have got on the bus with her, at least to like Maryland or something, and kept her entertained.
I was like, okay, I gotta try to do something, and they had,
want to see a trick?
I don't know. We should have brought our magic.
Right.
But we went to Starbucks because they just needed somewhere to plug in their laptop. And it was like right across the street. So I'm like, we can walk you to Starbucks. And then I get to Starbucks and I'm starting to bully people out of their seats so they can sit down. I'm like, I'll get you a seat because I think there's one here. And if you bring a chair here, and I'm just like, how can I
so
make
cute,
this work here?
This Georgia couple that New York would eat alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Every encounter they had with a New Yorker in like 2 hours time, every encounter was like...
Was that bitch that. New Yorker? Is this seat taken? Yeah, I'm waiting for my mom.
Yeah.
They either get eaten
alive. You're hitting my neck with your backpack.
I will kill you.
Just negative. Just negative. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're the nicest people.
Sorry,
he's
the really
Buddhist.
Nice ones, they either turn over in like 6 months and all of a sudden you never knew they're not from here.
Right.
Or they both go home.
Yeah. Yeah, I was concerned that she was going to stay longer than him. Turns out he took a later bus, but she was considering walking up like 42nd Street.
No, don't do that.
I was like, maybe you should.
Not by yourself.
And it's a safe, populated street, but still.
No.
No, even the cops were mean to them.
Oh, no.
They just got out of, what's that station?
Port Authority.
Port Authority. And they were like, where's, because we told them 8th and 42nd, which is right there.
Right.
We said 8th and 42nd. So they go, where's 8th and 42nd? And the cop goes, right there. But you're standing in front of the Port Authority, which means there are a lot of people coming not from New York.
New York, right. But those cops especially are the cops that are supposed to be,
that's their job.
Can I find the, those specific cops right outside of Port Authority,
it's
that's
actually,
what they're there for.
It's actually part of their job description.
Right. Those are the ones that know the subway system back to front and all that kind of
and
bullshit.
And they're giving these nice people attitude. Aww. And this is what, I'm going to say it again. When I was talking shit about about France. I know people talk shit about New York. I will talk shit about New York. You got attitude as soon as you got out. I'm sure there's more attitude after we left until they got on the bus. And it's just, that's what New York is. And you can't deny it.
And when we're leaving, we're just like, we just, you know, do that thing with your hands. We're like, I'm clean. If they get robbed, it's not our fault. We weren't around.
She shouldn't go walking around by herself. 6 months from she's dancing at Goldfinger's and you can't find her.
So a very cool, honest couple.
Yeah.
I just want to say a very good meeting them. And those who are new, Suck a Dick Wednesday, you buy a Keith and the Girl t-shirt. It can be a Who Are shirt, any kind of shirt. A girl will recognize that shirt, being a fan, and give you a blowjob. It works great in school. You can, you know, that's how you find out what girls are into the show. Mm-hmm. It works great at work because you don't got to say nothing awkward. Girls are into it. And proven fact, works on the subway as well.
And that's how this couple met. That's how somebody got their first blowjob. And we have it at keithandthegirl.com/store. Also, if you get more than $50 worth at the store, you get a sticker that we're not selling.
Correct.
There you go.
A birthday shout out. These are few and far between.
Happy
but looking on the forums, Patrice wrote, happy birthday, AIDS.
Birthday to you.
AIDS is now 25 years old.
Wow.
Still going strong.
Wow, I was 5 when AIDS came out. Wow, I didn't have a chance.
I was 2.
And then Sexy Potato follows up with, is it weird that it's my friend's birthday today also, and he happens to be a queer?
I think it's only appropriate. No, I'm kidding. Today is the 25th birthday of AIDS and the HIV virus. So go into the forums and find out where you can go get tested at your local health department.
Oh, we're having a PSA. Hello.
It's important to get tested because I don't want it.
Because this shit ain't going away.
Yeah. It's so not going anywhere, and I don't want it. You don't get to go on vacation like you do with herpes.
Oh, there's some, I don't know if you know about, there's some rap artist that's getting sued because he gave someone AIDS. And the way she found, I wish I knew the rap artist's name. I know, right. I'm bringing it up and not knowing. But the way she found out.
Famous
she,
enough.
Is it like, possible oh my God. It was Eazy-E and he's dead already? Because Eazy-E had the AIDS.
I don't know. She's suing him now, though. This is like recent.
Well, she could be suing his estate, but okay. Yeah.
So she's suing him, and the way she found out that he had AIDS, she found AIDS medicine, and he's denying it anyway, even though the AIDS medicine has his name on it.
Well, I guess he's still got to be alive.
So that's fine.
Well, it doesn't say Young Diggy Dog. It says Dwayne Reed. But so go get tested. Even if you know for sure you've only slept with one person and you don't have it and la,
didn't
la,
you
la.
Watch kids? If you didn't watch kids, it could be the first person you slept with.
Oh, your dude
AIDS.
Could be living on the down low. He could like the penis on the side. Not to say that it's only the gay community that has it, but it's everywhere. So
totally unrelated. Keith and the Girl t-shirts orders just went down 25%. Thank you, Patrice. Thank you very much. But Patrice is here. Let's talk about some gossip.
Okay.
What do you got for us today?
Jenny McCarthy. Best known
very
for
sexy, very stupid
titties on MTV.
Very stupid, very annoying. They acted like when she left MTV and they gave her a sitcom on NBC. Do you remember NBC. That? Mm-hmm. And everybody, real reviewers in legitimate magazines and newspapers, are rating how great it's going to be and how awesome she is. Why? Because they all jerked off to her. I didn't get it, and it sucked. She sucks. She's
great,
not funny.
Timing and all that.
Yeah, look
culture.
At my tits. The next, I think burp
they called
puke.
Her the next Lucille Ball. At one
yes,
point.
They did.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Although Lucille Ball.
Well, she sucked too. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I said it there. She sucked. Didn't like her.
You know,
no.
She was aight.
By the way, and I may have said this before, Lucille Ball taking all the fucking chocolates, putting on your dress, down your dress. Oh, okay. Yeah. Conveyor belts going faster and faster. That's genius. All those fucking shows. Address the ball. Hello, ball. Genius. Genius.
I'm going to pause for some water.
Those are, God forbid you fucking pick on any of those shows. Mm. Genius. My wife, I'll punch her in the face. Genius, because we really want to do that. But then the wife is like, you shut up. And he's like, okay, I wouldn't really do it.
It's Guess That Sitcom.
Right.
But Jenny McCarthy, do you want to take she actually got a divorce from her husband. Do you want to take a guess on who she's dating right now?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Buck Starr.
No. It is a comedian, though.
Pauly Shore.
No.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
No, he's
no,
still,
he's married
he's
with
still,
a kid.
He's still getting over that Nikki Cox situation.
Jay Moore.
He's engaged to Nikki Cox.
I give up.
She's dating Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Really?
Why
isn't
not?
Isn't he married?
He's a wacko.
I can't keep
that guy's a fucking
ball.
Wacko too. By the way.
Really?
By the way, he's a lot of extra skin on his face. It's kind of weird
being
when he
such
sits
a skinny
normal.
Guy.
Right. Right. Well, he has the skin from a fat person.
That's how he does a Plastic Man thing. He does
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'm over him. By the way.
Are you? Thanks.
Well, yes. He hasn't been acting, so I think he's accepted it. Yeah. He went home with all his money.
Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy. You're with that. And any of your old wives or girlfriends can go, I'm glad he took us seriously, too.
Although that Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was a good movie.
Yeah, I'm sure Jenny McCarthy got it.
No, she didn't get it at all. She didn't understand.
Oh, everything around you is vanishing. You have powers.
Denise Richards, in addition to stealing Heather Locklear's husband, is going to be one of the Pussycat Dolls. The Pussycat Dolls have the Pussycat Doll Lounge at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, and they have their 1-year anniversary, and Denise will be joining the girls.
Everybody does that once, you know?
Don't they? Yeah, don't they always have guests too?
They had slowed down celebrity guests for a while and just had the main crew of girls, but for the 1-year anniversary, she's going to be one of the dolls.
Did the Pussycat Dolls... you know, where they would interchange the people.
Mm-hmm.
Do the owners have anything to do with this band, Pussycat Dolls? Is it the same establishment?
Robin Anton, who owns the trademark on Pussycat Dolls, she actually has something to do with this, the band.
Because I would be upset if I'm confused and I go and see these Pussycat Dolls, which I'm sure are hot, but they aren't the same ones that I've been jerking to on TV.
Pussycat Dolls is a trademarked name. And she owns the trademark, so she's a part of the group. I actually remember when they were in New York casting for the Pussycat Dolls, the group that you see now.
Right.
And so, yeah, she helped put that together. But she was too old to be in it, so.
Okay.
And whatever.
Yeah, celebrities just go into that. Who's telephone?
Now, you heard that, right?
Yeah, I did. My phone does that.
I don't think it was mine.
It's mine.
Okay.
Roger Ebert, he's about to go into the hospital to have surgery June 16th for the third time for cancer. It's back.
Where is it? He's got nothing left.
Salivary glands, throat cancer. That's the.
Oh my
that's
god!
The one. That's the
is
one.
Is he a smoker?
Night times. I do not know. I don't believe so.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, that's the no more talking one. Sometimes too.
Ooh, that's that thing where you have to talk through your voice through a microphone. I want to cross the road.
Do you think like fat people,
hug grandpa?
Like not that this is an excuse to be fat, but fat people are born with fat heads. And it all makes sense. Okay, follow me. John Popper. John Popper lost all his fat.
Yes.
He's still got a big fucking fat head that looks weird.
A lot of that skin, though. That whole, the chin waggle he has
but
going.
But his skull. And same thing with who we were talking about, that movie viewer we were just talking
Roger
about now.
Ebert.
He still has that bobblehead skull.
He has a wide
skull.
Face. He has a really
it's
wide
like
head.
It's like God made it for a fat body. I'm just saying. If
I
you
totally
look in the
disagree.
Mirror and your head matches your fat.
I enjoy the thought that went into it, but I don't think I agree.
All right, just a theory.
I'm with Patrice. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I respect the amount of thinking
There's
that
no
went into that.
Thank you.
No. I don't know if respect is the word, but I appreciate it.
I told you last week, but she's confirmed it today. Anna Nicole is pregnant, 5 months so, by Larry Burkhead. She already has a son named Daniel, who's 20, and she and Larry are no longer together. But she did a little video on her website to confirm her pregnancy.
Star Jones has a big fat fucking head.
She actually, yes, she does have a big fat fucking head.
I'm going somewhere with this.
I know. It's okay. Carney Wilson, big head.
Carney Wilson.
Big head. Mm-hmm. I get what you're coming. I'm starting to see the third.
Somebody make a chart because I'm on
to see the
phone.
This is some real scientific shit right here.
A few more dots are going to connect.
You know?
I'm going to be fucking Einstein.
It's like Schrodinger's cat shit up in here. It's crazy. Someone has decided to sell Brittany and Kevin Federline's wedding invitation online.
Mm.
When
is that?
The final day to bid is June 6th. It went up 2 days ago. Her wedding was 2 years ago, and they gave out the invitations actually at the ceremony because it was a surprise ceremony. Everybody thought it was a rehearsal dinner, but it was the actual wedding. So they gave out an invitation that said, you know, surprise, you're actually at our wedding. If you're a girl and you knew you were going to be one of my bridesmaids, come upstairs and change because your outfit's here, whatever, whatever.
Is she that famous that something so insignificant is worth anything? Like that, a wedding thing? Like her signature's
famous,
not on it?
If you're famous, you use a glass. Somebody can find a way to sell that. It doesn't matter how the level of famous. There's somebody nuts enough, whether it's someone that's seriously stalker-minded or just wants to have a piece of memorabilia. But this especially because it didn't go out to a whole lot of people is probably something that a collector would want.
We're planning on the end of the month to sell the stuff we got from Diana Ross.
I'm selling my laptop. You can have it. Michael G said he wanted it. With asshole tax, it's yours. I'll leave everything on it. I don't care.
I want to call this out. Michael G said that he would pay $1,100 for your laptop.
$1,100, yeah.
If you leave all the information
if
on
I leave
it.
Everything on it. I have no
and
problem
sign
doing
it.
That. And I sign it. I
will Michael G, you're up.
I will even sign it in sparkly silver pen.
Oh, ick. No. No, there's no sparkly.
Not sparkly. Metallic. The one that you can see.
Okay.
So he can have I don't care. Take it. All the MySpace passwords. All that bullshit. Whatever.
That dude's getting fucking weirder.
Whatever.
Weirder.
You know? You just had to get that out, didn't you?
You had to. That needs to come out too. I thought it was weird, but whatever. But
I think it's awesome.
I guess Bihari is being an asshole. I don't doubt it. He was just saying it.
Oh, no, no.
It, but whatever.
I'm calling you out, Michael G. $1,100. Let's get her done.
There you go. But
How much was your computer?
$1,700.
That's not the question you
asked. So he's getting a deal.
Yeah. No, no. I told him he was being charged asshole tax. So.
What's that mean?
Because I've had it for like 8-9 months almost.
I don't think that's bad.
He's saving money. What reverse tax is this?
No.
Well, because my stuff's on it.
I don't understand. He's saving $600.
Well, it's not new. I've had it.
Okay, so you get less than $600. Where's the tax coming?
You know, I didn't want to get into this, but for $1,100, you can buy a new laptop.
A new laptop, yeah. So that's why the asshole tax.
Yeah, but not with your fucking pictures on it.
Exactly.
I guess,
Hence, it being up to close to retail value.
I just don't understand what assholes
you hung out
with. Okay, fine,
it's $1,700. He's an asshole, so I was charging him extra to leave my shit on it.
Right, but it doesn't sound like much to me. I guess I know assholes.
Okay, Keith, price it. Asshole tax. How much is it?
Michael G, $2,000.
Okay, $2,000. My laptop is now $2,000. Thank you. Done. Keith approved. I'll let Keith touch it before I sign it.
We'll all sign it. $2,000.
There you go.
We're all signing it.
$2,000. My laptop with all my shit in it. And it's got pictures. Naked pictures. Not of me. No. Other people. A lot of other people. But, the bidding starts at $1,000, $999, and
this
so far...
This is back to not your laptop.
Right, to Brittany's and Kevin's wedding invitation, and so far, zero bids. Not even one joke bid, not even Golden Palace, and they love to bid on stuff.
Oh, I guess, babe.
They bought a toilet from Jerry Garcia's house, and they haven't bid on this.
Okay, but Jerry Garcia used that toilet.
Well, Brittany had that wedding.
You don't even know if Brittany touched that piece of paper.
Now, she was handing it out. She put it on her chaotic video, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. She handed it out.
Mm-hmm. She handed out all the invitations personally.
As people came in, she was
reading
them. You know
what? I don't know. I don't even care.
I don't know. Whatever. But no one cares.
That's awesome.
The new Kids Bop is set to come out soon.
Patrice loves Kids Bop.
I do. It's sick.
It's creepy because
it's
creepy. They sing like a Jennifer Lopez.
No, they sing like Children of the Corn style. Any like of top 40 hits. It's really
right.
Yeah. What is it? What was that Beyonce song that they sang?
Yeah.
Did they sing
Crazy
Hootylicious?
Right Now?
Oh yeah.
You got me going so crazy right now. Will you still call me Superman? I'm a fucking Kids Bop.
She put it on her MySpace.
They were singing Franz Ferdinand. Take me out.
What number are they up to now?
Probably like 13 or so. There's been a lot. They come out every 3 or 4 months.
You know some songs or anything?
Yeah. They are going to
sing. You have to sing it, you know.
Mary J. Blige, Be Without You.
Mary J. Blige, Be Without You.
And Too Strong, Too Long.
And I can't be without you, baby. I'll be
too
waiting
much
up
melody.
Until
too much melody.
Can
bring
home.
It down.
Cause I can't breathe without you, baby.
Mm-hmm. The Pussy Dolls, Pussycat Dolls classic, Stick With You.
Okay.
They can't sing Hot Like Me. They can't. They don't have enough time to change all the words to be appropriate.
But you know what? It says on Kids Bop, Pussycat Dolls.
It's probably going to say the PU asterisk quad.
I don't
cat
think it's going to have asterisks. I think they're going to just be like, what? It's a cat.
The P-Cat Dolls.
That's even worse.
Don't Mariah Carey, her classic, Don't Forget About Us.
So Don't Forget About Us. That's
see,
all I know.
Melody in it. And unfortunately, it will not feature the Fall Out Boy hit Dance Dance because Fall Out Boy said no thank you.
What's Dance Dance? How's it dance?
Dance go? Dance. We're falling apart.
Oh, yeah. Because, all the artists have to okay this.
Well, no. Once you pay the royalties, you can use a song without having to get permission.
You can change it?
That's what you can't do.
That's what they're doing.
Right, because this particular song has a line that says that the only thing I want from you is crawling into bed with me or something like that. They can't use that with the children.
Okay.
They gotta change that line. So they had to get Fall Out Boy's permission, and Fall Out Boy said no thank you.
Oh, so that's the only time that they get a chance to
change words is when they get permission. So all these bands are like, oh, I don't know how we ended up on Kids Bop. You know how.
But you have to okay it.
If they don't change the words. No. If they keep the words the same.
Who do they pay?
They just have to pay you your royalties. They can use
which
the song.
Which is a lot of money.
Do you have to accept the royalties?
Yes, unless they change the words, and then you get the right to say no.
Wow. That's something, though.
You know what?
That's something.
But
if you're a true artist, that's something.
That's if your record company...
I know,
company,
none of us care, but
that's if your
if
record
you
company owns your masters. If you own your masters, then basically you're the person they're applying to. And most record companies will say, okay, they're going to give us a check.
Sure.
Go ahead, do it. But unless they're changing the words, then you get the right of refusal.
That's still weird. Like, you write a song, you never want
to... It's very strange for kids to sing your song.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody seems to give a shit, and it's in a different world.
I
where
understand.
Kids, you know what I mean?
I understand.
And to me, like, I kind of want to hear how my song would be creepy with kids.
It's always in the top five, but it's still sort of like an underground, just for little kids kind of thing. And the hipsters. The hipsters love it.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous for kids. Hipsters can have it all they want. It's ridiculous for kids.
Tom and Katie... The Cruises have asked.
I'm sorry, one second. We just saw dopey dumb Tom Cruise on Leno, and then tonight I
love
taped
how
him on Letterman.
That's his official name, as far as you're concerned. Dopey dumb.
It's so fucking stupid. And all the what is this big circle jerk of these stupid talk shows and movie stars? What is the fucking point?
Right.
When as a country can we quit fucking watching these dumb shows?
I don't.
You know, there's no. Hey, Tom Cruise, do you feel stupid that you jumped on Oprah's couch? That question never popped up. We actually took questions from the audience. He wants to know, what actress was the best kiss? Really? Not one person Jay Leno wrote, hey, Scientology, what the fuck?
Not all of them. Who the fuck wrote Who's the Best Kisser?
Right.
No one. No one. In fact, I've said this before, but I went to see that, which one of the Wayans brothers had the talk show?
Damon. Had the talk show at night, the horrible talk show.
Oh, yeah.
Keenan Ivory.
I was in California, saw Keenan Ivory. They were doing Here's What the Audience Wants to Ask Keenan or something.
Right.
And it turns out like they're just picking people from the audience and giving them questions mm-hmm. to ask into the mic.
Yeah.
There's no reality to that.
Right.
And now you're not even getting an audience member to pretend it's his thing. You're just going, here's what the audience wanted to know. Who the fuck is the best kid? Who do you think he's going to say?
My mom.
Yeah. Who do you think he's going to say? He got someone pregnant.
Right.
But, Nicole Kidman, I have to say.
I miss the old
days. No, I really want to be honest now. Because this is Jay Leno, for heaven's sake, and we like motorcycles.
Conan O'Brien, we're watching him because Victor Varnado was on, and he's interviewing, who's in that new movie, The Breakup? Jennifer Aniston.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. So I got a little excited, because I never really watched late night, so I don't know how much
they
dodged.
Let's see, what are they going to say about, Vince Vaughn? Nothing.
No.
And they go,
it's in the paperwork. You're not allowed to ask about Vince
Vaughn. But you know what? The whole audience is staring at you. Hold up an index card and go, things I can't talk about. Acknowledge it. You just stare, then you're a fucking idiot.
Her junket was this week.
Tuesday. And he goes like, they work together. Is it weird because you're short and Vince Vaughn's so tall? Yeah, I've never worked with somebody so tall. And the audience laughs because we're all children and we hear I've never fucked somebody so tall.
Right.
And so they all giggle. And she's like,
how do they line up?
And he's like, what's going on? You guys are dirty. Next question.
Yeah, why don't you continue from there and push it a little bit?
Yeah,
why, because they're not going to have jobs anymore.
No. There's a way to say it. There is a way to say it. There's a way to fucking acknowledge
it.
Nobody wants to know about Scientology. And you don't got to be a dick and just start hammering Tom Cruise, but you could throw in some real questions. Not talk about your respective car collections.
Well, it's Jay Leno. Jay Leno's not a hard-hitting interviewer.
Well, I taped Letterman. I'm sure he fucking dove into it.
No, he didn't either.
Letterman is a little more
about it.
Let
him go on Bill Maher. Maybe Bill Maher might ask him a question.
Oh, Bill Maher will ask.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise will not go on Bill Maher.
Exactly. That's why he doesn't do that show. He picks and chooses.
Right. No, of course. But I do think there is a way not to just totally fucking ignore the whole thing.
Leno gave up a long time.
And don't.
Ago. He's just riding.
The more
it.
Leno
He's
gives up, the more cars he gets.
Right.
Why is he not giving up? The more Leno kisses ass.
He hasn't gotten anything from not giving up.
To sleep at night and don't give me that pile of money because you have enough money now and you can do whatever you want.
He doesn't care. He likes being the, hey, everyone wants to come on my show because I'm the friendliest guy in the world and have motorcycles.
When he's not on TV, he's doing the corporate speech circuit. He gets $1 million a speech. You know what I'm saying? He's
what does he have to say?
He does like a 10-minute set. And
he goes,
hands.
Hey, guys, this isn't late night. Let me tell you something
and
about pussy.
Businessmen are listening
like
to this
Stein.
Guy? Businessmen who have to climb and work.
He'll be like the featured speaker at your little business convention.
And who's not excited anyway? Like when Tom Cruise came out and everybody's clapping and him just saying like, why are we still fucking clapping for this guy?
Because
it's exciting because you're live and that's Tom Cruise. I would be like, fucking Tom Cruise. I'm in the mood.
When are we going to stop idolizing him?
It's not idolizing anymore. It's
not idolizing.
Wonder.
You're live.
It's almost, it's like he's such an oddity at this point that
I will give you, yes.
It's like a circus freak sort of situation where you clap because, frankly, you don't know what else to do.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
It's either you clap and you go, "You're weird." And that's kind of awkward.
Yeah, instead
socially.
Of clapping, everybody goes, "You're weird. You're weird. Come on out, Tom Cruise."
You know what? Yeah. There is a way to say it. And I wish I could think of it. Nobody liked Craig Kilborn but me. But
I thought he was an okay interviewer.
I loved him.
He did happen to work like that five questions, fine. It's kitschy. It's fun. Right. But he worked a couple
He would ask something. You know, you wouldn't just ignore the whole Oprah Scientology thing altogether. You know, Oprah can bring it up. Oprah can bring it up. Everybody goes on Oprah more than Letterman and Leno. So Oprah would bring that up. You know, there's a way
carefully,
to
carefully. And Oprah's been kissing a way to do it a little bit.
And Oprah-like.
And that's still fine. But a little bit. Don't ignore it. Like, none of us are thinking that. You would have went. You're like, "Oh, Leno's there." And you went home unsatisfied.
Right. Mm.
I don't know. I just watched it and it riled my feathers.
But did it really?
Jennifer Aniston, Tuesday, because Monday was Memorial Day, her junket started for this new movie. And one of the first things out of her PR people, their mouths, say, "Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, your baby, you have no interview." So it wasn't even an option.
You already have her on.
No. She'll just walk away.
Gone.
You're gone. Walk during the fucking live show. Walk out. Good. Walk.
No.
But then you'll never get her again.
I'll never get her again. No problem.
This is a junket for like the little 2-minute pieces you see on like Entertainment Tonight, and that it wasn't live. It was taped.
Okay.
So like, no.
You're Jay Leno. You'll get her again.
You'll get put out.
You'll get her again. The way Jay Leno makes jokes on somebody that's not there. Mm-hmm. You know, the Letterman Leno making Britney Spears jokes every other joke, or how dumb the president is.
And she'll show up,
and she'll show up because she has to.
Right.
You know who does a good up. Job. Howard Stern does the best interviews, and he pushes it, but he does it in a conversational way.
Exactly.
You know, like, he's so good. I think my favorite thing to hear on Howard Stern. Yeah.
It's a good interview.
Isn't it
a shame how few and far between that is?
That is now, right, because he used to, like,
it
I think he was
done.
Known for
That's
it.
That's what you just said. It can be done.
Yeah, Howard Stern is a genius, but people are scared to get on his show, and he
That's
won't
That's the first
get
thing they always
people.
Say, that I'm scared, and he's like, "Why are you scared?" And then he'll sort of work that into the interview.
Yeah, he's really good at that. He's really good at making people feel comfortable, making people think that, you know, the stuff that they're saying
we're
is homie, not
weird. We're just sitting around hanging out talking. It's
exactly.
not.
Exactly. Because
no
he,
one hears
and
this.
He said why. He said, "Because I'm genuinely interested and I'm asking them like I'm interested and not like, you know, just for them to be a freak." Although I'm sure he loves that they're being a freak on his show. But still, people are scared to get on a show, but they still will because he's that gigantic. Right. But I do like it much better. And I know I'm a girl and this is what I'm going to say. Better than like so many, you know, people getting naked on a show. So many interviews with bimbos just to get their shirts off. It just kind of gets tired and old. And listen, I get, you know, horny like anybody else. And, you know, some of that stuff is interesting. But, you know, I don't care how dumb
how many
blondes are.
Can you see, really?
Yeah. But we're not seeing them. We're listening to the radio. That's the thing.
No, I mean on his end that it's still entertaining.
Oh, it's still entertaining to him. Yeah.
So where'd I cut you off fucking 20 minutes ago?
Oh, no.
Jay Leno, late night shows.
Brad Pitt.
Oh,
No, not Brad Pitt. Tom Cruise.
Oh.
I remembered.
They have asked Scientologist and American Idol runner-up Catherine McPhee to sing at their wedding.
She's a Scientologist?
Turns out she is.
Oh, well, then she's going to get all the jobs now.
There you go.
It's that easy? I'm a Scientologist.
That's what you need.
I am a super Scientologist.
I so believe that.
I believe in Kabbalah.
Nobody believes in Kabbalah.
No, we're done.
Britney
I'm sorry.
Quit it. Britney
oh, I'm
quit
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry.
Did she?
Yeah. Now we're on to Hinduism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a Hindu.
Well, we gotta wear dots. As long as there's something that they can sell for $50 that doesn't make sense.
There's a dot and a special water.
Oh, the water.
You don't have a religion till you have a water.
Right.
Jessica Simpson has made her first offer in the divorce settlement. She offered Nick $1.5 million. I know you're saying $1.5 million. It's more than I have in my wallet right now. Why not I take it?
No, it does seem weird between them.
Jessica made $30 million in 2004. She's offered Nick $1.5 million.
You know what? You know that thing where you share because you nurtured each other, and so who's to say what's what?
Mm-hmm.
But she was a songwriter and made songs. In court, they could take Nick Lachey's songs and go, "No, listen to these. He did not help her. That's her money."
Well, remember, a lot of it was based on Newlyweds and dividends from being famous because of Newlyweds. And who was her co-star on Newlyweds?
Right.
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
That's true. And if it was vice versa, everyone would be appalled.
Well, the smartest thing that they did is, okay, fine, they didn't have a prenup, but they got married in Texas. They didn't get married in California, which is a 50-50 state. So she would have been royally screwed if had they gotten married in California. But she said, oh, no, I want to get married in my home state where I grew up. And no, she thinks ahead.
You think she thought ahead. She's dumb. Definitely. You admit she's dumb. She's
no, maybe her father
thought
ahead.
Dumb like a fox. She's that subversive stupid. She's stupid about certain things, but there's other things where she's stupid enough to have the right people in charge of it.
Her father. Okay. Her father's going to take care of
Papa
her money.
Joe will
that's
get it.
His
Papa
money.
Joe will, that's his money. That's not even her money. Yeah. No. I just let her buy little handbags and jeans. That's my money.
I can't believe out of all the states, California is the 50-50 state.
Yep.
Just saying. Just putting that out there. That's weird to me.
Courtney Love has a biography coming out. Written by her. It's called...
It's called fucking Scribbles. I'm sure you can really read it.
It's called Kurt Cobain's Wife.
My Life in Pictures. I drew them.
You heard?
I drew them.
I drew them. These things. It's called Diaries of a Dirty Blonde. It comes out this fall. It's 288 pages. Mm-hmm. Most of it is handwritten poetry and pictures.
Yeah, why not? It worked... I worked for one dead Kurt Cobain.
How the fuck else is she going to fill up 288 pages?
You know what? Because when you put shit in poetry form, it doesn't have to make sense, you fucking crackhead. Do I put a period or not? Whatever I do is right. It's a poem.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a haiku.
And you're going to think you got it. You're going to think it makes sense.
Right. And she's going to be laughing at you.
And if you dare to go, what a dumb book, you're the fucking idiot that didn't get it.
I love you. That was brilliant. That was just brilliant.
Paris Hilton on her new movie called National Lampoon's Pledge.
You know what? All those suck, by the way. All those fucking National Lampoons.
All the new
There's
ones.
Nothing that Keith is liking.
There's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, of course, and...
okay, if you say Christmas Vacation...
No, it's good.
Okay.
No, it's good.
And I was about to walk out.
And something else. I forget.
European Vacation?
No.
No, it's not National Lampoon's.
Where they go to college?
Belushi. Not college days. Oh, Animal House.
Animal House was National Lampoon.
Yeah,
but after
all the
80s that,
ones were good. Not this new shit where they tried to resurrect it.
Everything straight to video. It's
well,
just
because
the name.
College days. What is the? Yeah, I remember that one.
80s movies are 80s movies.
No, that's nothing to do with
that. No. It does. Just hear me out for
the
80s movies.
There was a carefree time.
80s movies were really shitty, really corny, and we accepted it, liked it. There was something going on in the 80s. It's done. They're going to do Revenge of the Nerds.
They're remaking it.
They're remaking. You can't. It's a stupid movie that we appreciate in the 80s, and we look back going, hee hee, that's Revenge
of
the Nerds.
Part of the love of that movie is the shitty film quality. Like,
it's dumb. How are they going to duplicate that? Yeah. What are they going to do? The new nerds are different. You can't, no. Then call, no. Just no. 80s movies are 80s movies.
Michael Jackson tried to be irreverent and make a joke. He was in Japan and he had just left an orphanage and he said,
you
he
know
was,
what? That is weird that Michael Jackson tries to make a joke. Why is that weird?
Because
you know what I mean?
There's certain people that can't make jokes anymore without
nothing
being
you
careful.
Do is funny.
OJ has to think about his jokes first.
You better shut up or I'll kill you. No, no laughing. Oh, okay.
So what did Michael Jackson say? You better shut up before I touch your kids.
He was leaving an orphanage in Japan. He had just made a visit. And he said maybe he should do some things like Angelina Jolie and just adopt a Japanese baby. He worked it into joke.
Was that a joke? I don't get it. Where's the joke?
I guess that's a joke.
Yeah.
Are you sure he meant it in joking form? Did he go...
I think he was under the assumption that they would let him take home a baby with him.
Oh.
You ever notice child molesters?
You know what, though? He's that famous that he goes... I want one.
You know the Japanese will go, we could lose one. We got enough.
Is it a girl? Take it.
Take it. You can have two. Buy one, get one.
I have a theory where child molesters all have putty faces.
Do a chart. I need a chart.
And narrow heads. I see.
Flat foreheads.
Now, if you're a fat child molester, where does your head
there's all kinds
what
of...
What direction does your head take? I think
the
it comes...
The bobble flathead.
Comes out quite triangular. but Paris said about her National Lampoon's Pledge movie, there are lots of sexy scenes with me.
Okay. I like her. I jerk off to her fucking little bitch attitude instead of her.
This bitch is so full of quotes. I love her. I do.
I know. I love that Keith really means it. A lot of times he jerks off to the people's weird personalities or what he thinks they're thinking and not just the fact that they're spreading it.
That's real deep. That's the deep man jerk
off. No. It sounds deep. It's creepy.
By the way, and I know I've said this before, Britney Spears, whenever I had her DVD when that first came out.
Crossroads?
No. Don't be silly. Oops, I did it again.
No, I meant Crossroads because she had that underwear scene that everybody got off on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that hot. Her video, you
the
mean.
The CD. Okay, I had the CD, and it had as bonus footage the video, the schoolgirl video, and then interviews with her. And so I jerk off to the, you know, oops, I did it again like 20 times. Okay.
How many times can you do that? I mean, go on.
And then it got old. I really couldn't do it anymore. And then I'm like, what are these fucking videos? It's basically my idea to be held in the school. I'm like, you fucking idiot. Ah!
There are reasons to jerk off to anything for Keith. She's so stupid. I love it.
And I jerk off to Paris Hilton. Like, you are a fucking spoiled little bitch. I should not be jerking to you. That's what you want.
That's a different kind of coming.
A more subtle jerk.
No, it's interesting. Right.
The Gillette company this week has decided who has the celebrity legs of a goddess.
Angelina Jolie.
They made a 16-foot replica of those legs.
Mary Hart.
Mariah Carey.
Good.
What?
Good. Tell me that bitch isn't crazy, by the way. I jerk off to her craziness. Her face is always that crazy fucking face looking at the camera. I'm fucking crazy. How does anybody honestly go, that's an attractive woman?
She's always smiling at no one in particular. You know what I mean? Like, it's a general smile, so everyone sees I'm happy, right? I'm happy.
Her smile is like those pictures in museums that follow you around.
Yeah, she's smiling, but she has the vacant George Washington eyes. Like, she's not really looking at anyone. No, she hasn't focused in on anyone in particular.
That's her sexy look. Don't you understand?
Okay.
That's sexy. She's got the idea of sexiness of, like, back in the day when women squinted too much and, you know, puffed up their lips. Like
you were bothered.
Weird. Like,
just
weird. Right. Like, you're making this ass pose. That's she's still back there. That's why when she was doing her Cribs on MTV and she did her Crazy on Cribs.
Oh, my God.
And now I would change into this ensemble.
And she kept skidding in and out of the room. Like, skitter, skitter. She would skid across the room.
Because she still has that old weird version of pretend sexy.
It. She's damn near 40. She says the reason that she has such sexy legs is genetics. And because in sixth grade, she was a fast runner.
Okay. You fucking dumb crackhead. Don't you have 20 people in charge of shutting your mouth. How did that get out?
She really does at this point. She does. She's one of those people that has people in charge of making sure she doesn't talk too much. No. That's enough. That's enough.
That was the greatest. You have 20. And 5 of those people shut your mouth so that you stop eating.
Yes, that's how you got this contract.
That's true.
Last two items, they are about how far the mighty have fallen. First, I would like to announce the cast members for Surreal Life 8.
We're really at 8? Are you kidding?
7 hasn't finished, but here's 8.
Wait, what's...
Oh my God, you didn't follow 7, babe.
Yes, I did. CeCe DeVille and all that? I saw everyone, yeah.
Everyone?
Oh,
really?
It's finished.
Yeah. It must not have been interesting.
Yeah,
you really didn't bring it up.
I didn't know it was finished.
No, it's not. CeCe DeVille is totally sober. He's the cool one. You know, somebody touched a mess. He looks good. He's talking normal. The girl from the Whitesnake video is fucking plumb crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Their hermaphrodite
we knew that already.
Is fucking plumb crazy.
Well, Alexis had the change officially from what I hear.
She's nuts. It
I'm
is
sorry.
Fucking crazy.
And no,
I'm just filling everybody in. It was interesting enough. It was interesting enough.
I didn't know it had finished.
But,
okay.
You know, by the second show, you knew how it's going to end. This is crazy. The little whore from Playboy, she's upset because...
she's going to learn a lesson.
Because you called her a little whore?
Because Mrs. Brady calls her a little whore, basically.
Okay.
And now, why does she give a fuck? The end.
There
so,
you go.
Fuck him. So,
Real Life 7.
Big respect for CeCe DeVille. Good for him. That's it.
I like CeCe DeVille.
I'm ready for... the new season list,
number
though.
8 season 8 we have Dabney Coleman, best known for the movie 9 to 5, but my personal favorite for Drexel's Class.
Okay, let me tell you something. This guy seems smart enough to have saved his money. Why is he doing this? This is something
had this conversation before. When you get accustomed to being famous,
no.
It almost hurts to not be famous.
I agree with that.
I agree with that, but I'm specifically talking Dabney Coleman.
He's a character actor. He has a million and one things that he's done as far as
who
movies
is this?
And
I don't know who this is.
He's a character actor. He's one of those guys. You would totally know him if you see him, but there's no one particular role.
He would look at MTV and be fucking disgusted by
it. Oh, yeah, totally.
He would look at VH1. He would look at Surreal Life and be like, are you kidding
Some
me?
Of the best TV shows he's been in. Mannix and
I tell you what,
Money
Mod
Talks.
Squad. And,
I tell you what I think it is. It's a ton of money, but also I think that...
there goes your whole fucking career. The warrant, Cherry Pie, he's complaining about Cherry Pie ruining his legacy. Now you die, Dabney Coleman, and you'll literally die in 2 years. Fact.
Yeah.
And there's your legacy. Remember him? Remember Dabney Coleman from Surreal Life?
Yeah, I really, honestly, 9 to 5 was the best I could do. I'm sure there's something else. I think there's one where he was like an army dad or something. I can't remember exactly.
But I think VH1's
kids would rather learn that you were a faggot.
I think that VH1's people are very good at talking to celebrities about what they think celebrities
they
need.
They build a whole night out of it, out of, you know, reviving.
It would
old
be. It does seem very easy to manipulate celebrities.
Yeah, at this point,
anybody
yeah.
with
I think,
an ego.
I mean, look
it's
at Flavor Flav. I mean, he got his own spinoff. I mean, two spinoffs.
Yeah,
actually.
I think that they explain it in a way, and I think they promise certain celebrity certain things that they know that they'll have in a comfort, and they also convince them it's only 2 weeks, and in these 2 weeks, you can re.
I mean, it's up to you at this point to hit the spark, you know, to make America interested.
Yeah, and you can recreate your career. You can, you know, all of a sudden bring it back to life. So. So I think there's something about that, especially like Patrice says, they're not famous anymore, and it hurts.
Why it's that attention? Like you're not accustomed to not getting that attention anymore.
And so I could see that can hurt.
If they have surreal life 10 years from now, Britney Spears will be on it.
Why can't
that
one
would be awesome.
Why does everybody? Why do they go on this show though and have to take it so serious? And when you have crazy Tawny Kitaen being stupid. Why do people like go on this real life? Go like, oh, what's wrong with her? Just sit back with the beer and laugh and gag these bitches on. I would have started a fight between Tawny Kitaen and that hermaphrodite and just laughed and laughed. If I got on the fucking what is that? Last Comic Standing house, I'd be like, hey, now for my first joke, and I've overturned somebody's bed. And then 2 days later, I'd be like, guess what? I'm a good comic. This is the follow up joke, and I do it again.
Nobody would vote for you, though. America doesn't want to see that. That's a voting.
Who doesn't want to see that?
America loves an asshole.
Right.
They'll keep him for the drama.
I think mostly the people who are voting for these kinds of things, even though it's America's Last Standing, are middle American type of things. Okay. Where
but reality TV, the hot girl, the asshole.
That's a different
story. The one
story.
That likes to fight. No, but just in general, this is what, even with the Big Brother, the cocky asshole.
Right, you're right.
The hot girl.
It's like Real World, except in different forms.
The angry black man. You have to have.
And I understand.
No, now they're going into the calm black man so that they stop feeding in stereotypes.
That's true, but then you get the angry black woman or the angry Hispanic.
The
someone
angry
of color
lesbian.
Has to be mad. Yeah, someone who's a minority has to be pissed in some fashion.
I don't know how this new Last Comic Standing is going to work voting wise, but I do see your point. Maybe America doesn't want to see me put my cock in the, you know, house jello, but. Whatever they had.
I love when you make Patrice make that face.
But whenever they had the
don't
voting,
ever offer me each other.
I'd be an asshole in the house. Fuck with everybody. You go on stage and be normal.
They're not going to vote for
the
you.
The people. Listen.
No, you can't be schizo.
Listen.
You have to carry the theme.
Can I talk? The people.
The name of the show is Keith and the Girl.
the people in the audience vote. Then.
Oh.
They don't know the shit you did. Only America knows.
It's kind of bipolar.
They don't know that, though.
No.
I don't think so. I think
they only work for a week.
I think it worked
until like the very end, and then when all of America votes, then I get kicked out, and who gives a
fuck? And who gives a fuck by then?
Right.
By then, you're known for the guy who puts your penis in Nutella.
You'll recognize him
as
the person.
Yeah, but then you end up
that,
like Richard Hatch, the naked survivor. Yeah. It's
that's true.
It's more
icky.
Kitsch than anything. It's icky.
Here's
it's
the guy
famous.
That shit in Joey Gay's pillowcase. It's Keith Bally.
It's not a good famous. Who else do we have? Like I said, Dabney Coleman. Peter Steele, who's from a band called Type O Negative.
Oh, I've heard
Type
of them.
O Negative, I don't like, is more noise than music to me. I do remember.
It's a newer band, so that's weird.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
It's mid-90s? Mid-90s?
Yeah.
Really?
I bought their album because it had two lesbians kissing.
Couldn't you just bought porn?
Oh, yeah.
It was an album. It's like, what's in this album? I gotta know.
Wow. I didn't know that worked. I really didn't know that worked.
You can't sing Lesbians Kissing, though.
Who knows what?
Unless one of the songs was called Lesbians Kissing.
Did I say I was jerking off to Britney Spears talking about how made a video?
But that's kind of free.
Why are you trying to learn how men
think?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Let's move on.
Wow. I didn't know that was...
Well, you were walking past the CD cover going...
Well, you know what? For no extra cost...
I was enjoying for
$10. I will paste a picture of lesbians kissing on the top of my laptop. Whoever wants to buy it. So random. Oddly enough, a member of the Blue Man Group, I don't know how he fits
Exactly. Who's going to be in blue all the time?
I don't know.
And you're not... And it's not the same
people. And mime. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the same people all the time.
They should make him have to never talk.
He'll be a mime the whole time. There you go.
And
drum out his feelings.
There you go. Tina Jordan, former Playboy Playmate.
Who cares?
They have to get someone who's going to get naked, baby.
My personal favorite, and the reason I will torrent this show every Sunday night, Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Snap it to a Slim Jim.
That's a good one.
Oh,
that's a good one.
And to round it out, K Carrot Top.
Ugh.
Really, this freak? He's going to, you know what? He's not going to do nothing funny. He's going to be laid back. He's going to be the more normal one.
No. No, he's going to be crazy.
He's wicked creepy looking.
He's going to be crazy.
He's going to be corny. I don't think he's going to be crazy.
He's going to be insane. He's going to do crazy things where people are going to be afraid to sleep while he's in the
no,
house.
I don't think so. I think he's going to try to purposely be laid back and end up coming off as weird.
We shall see. Right.
There we go.
What a fucking weird head. That's another one.
And the hair doesn't help.
Quit working your fucking face. We can all tell.
And then he started working out and it got all creepy below the neck.
Because he also is on steroids or something.
I don't know.
Well, good for him.
Carrot Top is juicing. I'm sorry.
Get it? Get it?
There's a website called HollywoodIsCalling.com.
Okay.
And I know you're saying, well, what could they possibly sell on that website?
No, I was just waiting for more.
Phone calls from celebrities. For $19.95, a celebrity will call your house. I know you're saying, what could he possibly tell you? They can tell you happy birthday. I can go online and order a celebrity to tell you.
For only $20?
Happy birthday, $20. Low price. But $29.95 if you would like a personalized message. They get standardized messages for $19.95.
Oh, so, hey, this is Keith Richards. Happy birthday.
Oh, it won't be live.
No, it's live. It's a live call.
No, every time for $19.95, it's a live call.
Either way, it's a live
call.
What
does that mean? It has to be personalized.
They're sitting
personalized,
there.
Personalized, you can say, tell Keith I said, happy birthday, you bastard. Right. Okay, that's $29.95. But if they call you and say, I wanted to wish you the happiest of birthdays, that's the standardized message.
These celebrities are really
sitting
there.
But he's still
going
to say it live. Well, why pay the extra $10? It's pretty personal if you're live.
I guess.
Okay, who's
that? I wouldn't get someone to say, happy birthday, you bastard.
Right, okay, that's true. I'd make him say, boy, what the fuck did I do with my career? Save your money. I fucked up. By the way, I'm a faggot.
Well, all calls...
And I mean that in a derogatory way.
No call is going to be longer than 30 seconds.
No, I'll tell him to talk fast.
No, that fit in, babe. Don't worry about it.
As you have to make sure the person that you want the call to go to is going to pick up, because if you pick up the phone, the celebrity is just going to start giving the call. They do not hold on.
That's fair.
Right. So the celebrities that you can have for $20.
Oh, it's a selection of shitty celebrities.
Dabney Coleman.
Lou Ferrigno, better known as the Incredible Hulk.
That's very cool.
Ooh, I like that.
Happy birthday. I enjoyed it.
Don't make me mad. Have a happy birthday.
Yeah, I bet they have little
I so
puns.
Want that for my birthday next year, right there. Wrap that up with a bow. I want
it's your birthday and I'm green. With envy. Click.
Oh, you should just start writing them for them. Larry Holmes, who's a boxer.
Okay, Larry Holmes, is it all retards?
Candyman, the actor who played Candyman.
Get the fuck out. The black guy.
Yeah.
Right?
The wrestler.
Who would even know that? You wouldn't know his voice. I can't even picture it.
Well, I'm sure he does Candyman voices.
Yeah, the Candyman wants to say candy for you on your birthday.
It wasn't a shock and jive movie. He was scary.
He was black.
I'm Candyman. I don't know.
Like, do you, for $20 extra, you say happy birthday, nigga?
Maybe. Maybe.
My nigga.
Times are hard.
Not bad names, if you ask me.
Raven, who's a WWF or WCW wrestler.
If you're into that world, okay.
Eddie Munster, the original one from the black and white series.
That's cool.
Eddie Munster.
He didn't have a voice.
I don't care.
Okay.
Eddie Munster, which one's he?
He was a kid. The son of the Munsters.
Oh, the son.
Never mind.
No, not the husband. The son.
Okay.
I'll fucking do it and pretend I'm him. Your friends will never know. $5 and a promise that if I see you again, you buy me a beer.
The actor who played Vito Spadafore on The Sopranos.
Vito. Is he the gay guy?
The fat guy that got killed, yeah.
Okay.
Any guy who sounds Italian in
America. Oh, my God. Hey, oh, my God. $20. My head's going to burst the things I'd have that queer say.
Eric Nies from the original Real World.
Okay. I was in gay porn. Happy birthday.
Eric is the guy who tried to kill himself like 10 years later. The cool guy on the original Real World. Yeah, he tried to kill himself.
Cindy Margolis.
Ew.
Okay.
Todd Bridges.
I'd pay for him to call a friend.
Dennis Haskins, better known as Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Mr. Belding.
Okay.
Mr. Belding's a cool
right,
one.
Okay. Cool.
Class is in session for your birthday. Screech.
And my personal favorite, Cato Kaelin. I'd pay him $100 for an hour of talking.
No.
He'll do it too. Yeah. You can email him on the side.
Oh, yeah. Cato, I'll give you $15 without you having to give them their card.
Give that site out again. I like it.
It's called HollywoodIsCalling.com. There's a lot of other celebrities on there as well. I just didn't have the time to list them all.
That is awesome. Can you go to the site and hear samples?
I didn't check all that out.
Well, maybe if they do, we'll have it for you tomorrow.
You
awesome.
Probably can. And there's a new website. You know everyone has to have a hook. There are female genital mutilation is a big issue.
I talk about it all the time with my friends.
So me and
Suck a Dick Girl were yapping about that.
And everyone has to have a hook, and they realize they have to catch people's attention. So you can go to Adopt a Clitoris and help a woman not get her clitoris mutilated. So you can literally, like, you can adopt a child. You can adopt a clitoris.
How does it work?
You go to the website, and you pay the money, and you get a certificate that you've adopted a clitoris. And
this is
and
for,
that's the clip
this
they won't
is either
chop
for
off.
Health or you know bullshit
health,
health,
health
or
health.
Religious reasons.
Oh no, they do it for religious
so,
reasons.
So they're like, we don't have to do it because you paid me.
No. They get the woman out of her village or whatever the case may be, so that she does not have to have her. Clitoris
do you get to see
like,
a picture of the clitoris and put it on your desk and
you
follow
do with
its
adopt
progress?
A child. You do with adopt a child.
That's true.
And then like years later, she shows like who the clitoris you know is getting fucked by, and you're like, ah, this is the one I was raising.
You had to take it to the dirty place.
Maybe for $10 extra, you do get
we
a picture.
We were just saving the clitoris.
What's the website?
It's called clitoraid.org.
Clitoraid.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be cute about it.
I like savetheclitoris.com.
Adopt
why not?
Adopt the clitoris.
Yeah, adopt the clitoris.
Adopt the clitoris.
Or save my clit.
Yes.
.com.
Yeah, I would, though. It'd be like you know, being a big brother or something.
Yeah.
You know, and then
take
the kid grows up, though.
Teach you how to play basketball.
Well, it's being a big brother in a southern town, yeah, saving someone's yeah. clit.
Right, and then the big brother grows up, robs somebody, and you're like, God damn it, I put money into you. You know what I mean? I don't want this clitoris fucking start banging the village. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
We all do, yes.
All right, I'll do it. I'll sponsor a clip. Mom won't be proud.
KeithandTheGirl.com.
Hey, Paulie, you're on Keith and the Girl.
Hi, how are you guys?
Not too bad. Don't be afraid to talk louder. Our connection sounds a little weak today.
Okay.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Not bad. So to bring everyone up to speed, you are Paul Malamut, and you've written a book called The Chinatown Death Cloud Peril.
That's right, Chinatown Death Cloud Peril.
And to bring you up to speed, I'm Keith Malley. Okay.
And it's Hemda.
This is my Serioso Hemda. First off, I just figure a vague disclaimer is nobody's friend, so I want to make sure you know we are a comedy show and not a book reviewing show.
I am well aware of that, and I think I'm prepared for it.
Have you you heard our show?
I have heard the show. I love it. You guys are very, very funny.
Have you listened to our entire back catalog?
Yeah, every single episode.
Are you fucking serious?
Thank you so much.
I wish I had the time.
Oh, well, good, because that makes me feel not as bad about the fact that I didn't finish your book yet.
Okay.
But
I never even read it.
So you're on a podcast junket right now. You're basically appearing on podcasts. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's a great way to talk to people. You know, find the real people that you want to read your book.
So what other podcasts have you been on?
We're starting slowly right now. The list is about 100, but you guys are my second.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's the first, if you don't mind me asking?
The first one is a group called Out of the Past. It's a mystery writers showcase where they're talking to me and some other authors about some other books and screenwriters about. They're talking to the guy who did that movie Brick that just came out.
Well, at least it wasn't the Harry podcast.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Why should I stay away from them?
So basically, yeah, so you've been on the book podcast, but you see, this is the brave new world of podcasts. We're like the wild fucking West. We are in no way professional, and you're a brave fucking man for appearing, I must say.
Well, I figured I'd give it a shot, you know. I listen to you guys. I think I'm prepared. I don't want to get the pedophilia tonight.
Well, if you're familiar with the show, then you know that I fucking hate reading books. I fucking hate it. Hemda, when's the last time you saw me read a book?
3 years ago.
That sounds about right. Fucking books. God damn it.
It wasn't Harry Potter, was it?
God, fucking Harry Potter.
It was the Da Vinci Code, right?
I actually read it. It's okay.
So a lot of my questions then, since I hate reading books, are going to lean more toward the publishing side of stuff. Because okay. I'm very interested in self-publishing now. Basically self-everything. This new world of the internet, you know? I mean, we're doing a radio show out of our house.
Right.
And we sell DVDs of my stand-up. The kid who opened for me this year, McNally something, he was fucking good.
He's doing an awesome podcast now. If you're ever really interested, you should check it out.
Okay.
But yeah, so that comes down to publishing also, because basically if you've got the gumption these days, if you've got the will, there is a way now to publish your own shit. You don't actually need a publisher.
Absolutely.
So basically I was thinking the publisher comes down to just handling the little details, right? So here's where the tough questions come in. I want to know, how close are you with Nicole from Simon & Schuster?
Ooh!
Well, I'm a married man. Nicole is a wonderful professional.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, that's my opening salvo. I would like to quote from a couple of the emails that we got from Nicole, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
All right, and the first one she sent us, let me quote here. Pulp fiction is a term that many only know in reference to the Quentin Tarantino's film. Pulp, however, has quite a history. Now, obviously she did not read that over before she sent it. you see, you gotta do for self, man. You can't leave it up to these people.
Where was the editor?
Seriously.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice in every email she writes the name of your book all in caps, so it'll say, like, just wanted to make sure you received a copy of
The Chinatown Death Cloud Peril!
So,
finger on that every time you say that.
Well, I think it obviously she was copy and pasting it from the original solicitation. I mean, do you ever worry that maybe your publicist doesn't really know the name of your book? Does that keep you up?
No, believe me, if anything, they're overly enthusiastic.
And, well, just for a final kick in Nicole's balls, she ended one email with the classic thanks with a one at the end because she wanted to do the exclamation point but couldn't hit shift in time.
Exclamation point, that's really funny.
Obviously, she's just a busy woman, though. I mean, that's fair.
Well, yeah. I know she's putting her all into the book, so you know, I will say on Simon Schuster's behalf that they actually have let me... you're privy to a lot more inside, behind-the-scenes stuff than I think most authors get a chance to be involved with.
And blah, blah, blah. I see you have a MySpace account, Paul. Has that helped you promote your book at all? Or?
Yeah. I've had some very cool people on MySpace.
You know what I've noticed about MySpace is basically a bunch of faggots that use MySpace, and I don't mean that in a cute way. I mean homosexual people use it every day.
Yeah, everyone is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying...
We're not saying we're not gay.
All right.
I mean, do you guys find that you're obsessive about it? Do you...
Hemda, Jesus Christ, you're on MySpace all the time.
Yeah, I just sent that Aaron girl from the Loggeria show an email today through MySpace.
That's a good show.
See, all my MySpace friends are fictional characters. I like going around and finding out people's names that built sites for Superman or Indiana Jones.
There's a question I wanted to ask you. So a lot of the characters in your book are based on, or they aren't based on, they're actual authors. And one of them is L. Ron Hubbard back before the Dianetics days. So without giving up too much, let me ask, is he like the whipping boy? Is he the guy that's always like falling in cow shit and getting his balls kicked?
He is the comic relief. He falls into a grave at one point.
Oh, serious?
That's awesome. Yeah. That's probably the best thing you've said so far.
You know, it's a fairly nice portrayal, actually. I certainly didn't know the guy, but, you know, he is the young, he's like 26 and everybody is older and he's eager and the young pup and he, you know, gets, like you said, kicked in the balls a lot. I think it's pretty funny. He definitely is a butt of joke in this. But I think he comes off okay in the end.
So let me ask you this. There are a lot of cameos in your book by Jack Kirby, Stan Lee. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume that you're a comic book nerd. Is that right?
I used to be. I threw that in for the comic book.
Yeah, well, see, there's nothing wrong with that. One of my best friends, this guy Chad, he draws comics and, you know... It's cool. You don't, you know, I'm all right with that. So the follow-up question to that is getting a book published, gotten you laid?
Did you get anything?
No, you know, like I said, I'm married.
Oh, well, that's...
Not even from her?
You know what? People just take it for granted that,
that married men actually get some.
Yeah,
it doesn't
it's
really
not always
happen.
The case. Sometimes you need to get your wife going.
To quote Larry David, things have been very nice around the Malmont household since we got published.
That's very excellent.
The wife has been very forthcoming with her favors.
So I did some research and on Amazon.com, very favorable reviews. Everyone who's written a review seems to very, very much like the book. But this, I couldn't believe this. There's a whole crap load of people selling their advanced copies of the book. Did you notice that?
I saw that, yeah. It pisses me off.
All their little comments, yeah, it'll say, like new, never read. It's like, you fucking bastards.
Never read. Not a crease in this page.
All these people have been getting like signed copies. I can tell when I'm doing signings whether they're going to be selling it on eBay because like, just the signature, please. Just the signature.
Sons of bitches. Yeah, like don't crack the spine.
Yeah.
See, I'm willing not to read it, but at least I'm not going to sell it. Like, oh, please.
You might, you know. Times are tough.
Hey, times are tough.
So, what would you say is one of your favorite books? Like, what do you enjoy?
I like Douglas Adams stuff a lot.
Okay. I don't really read all that much. Yeah. I do a lot of, like, documentary reading and other types of things, too.
I remember I was saying how I was said I was going to finish a book this summer, as in writing a book. And Hemda's like, yeah, I'm going to finish a book too, as in reading one.
When he said that, I laughed so hard I almost peed my pants.
Seriously, though, fucking reading books. If I could edit my book without reading it somehow, I would do it.
Yeah, no kidding. Keith, what's your book about?
Oh, it's going to be so good. It's coming out soon, actually. Self-published. Represent. It's called The Great American Novel, and it's all about my life. And it's going to make J.D. Salinger look like a fucking retard. It's going to make Da Vinci Code look like a failure.
It might make Louis look like a retard.
We'll just make up a fake name for you in the book.
I'm already the girl.
I'll be more than happy to give you, a blurb if you need it.
It couldn't hurt. So I got one last thing I wanted to ask about.
Sure.
And this comes back to my total disdain for all establishment of any kind, including the literary establishment. Now, all these quotes on your book, like I said, very, very positive. But every book is like that. Every book is just awash in these positive quotes to the point where it's just static. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
And if people would just think about these things for 3 seconds, they'd realize.
Just three seconds!
Duh, I drop my H's when I get upset. It's not your fault. And that this isn't affecting anyone anymore. They're just glossing it over. They're not paying attention. Don't you think it would be more meaningful?
I've got to tell you that how much that matters to people.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised. And the publishers put a lot of pressure on getting those words. People really, take it seriously, I got to tell you.
Well, I think that's an example of how publishers are living in fucking 1910, because that's just no one gives a shit. What I would stick out to me, if right on the cover of your book in great big letters, if it said, I am now marginally less ashamed of my son, Paul Malamud's mom, I'd be like, that's fucking great. I will buy that book.
See? I would too. And maybe actually even read it.
I just buy it for the quote. Just like, look at that. That's sweet.
Right. Well, I heard you saying that you're totally anti-establishment and everything, but on the show I was listening to today, you guys were talking about how disappointed you were with the Last Comic Standing.
Oh, that is a fucking scam. A fucking scam.
Establishment. I mean, that's NBC and Bravo and all these other...
But, yeah, seriously, once a year I do these stand-up shows. I film them. I put out the DVD. Third one's almost ready. And it's kicking ass. It's doing great. You don't need these people. So if, say, you don't sell enough copies, you don't make back your advance, just say, fuck you, Simon & Schuster. Say, I'm fucking Paul Malamud. I don't need your shit.
Yeah.
I don't fucking need you. I swear to God, you just take the world by storm, man.
So who are your favorite comedians?
Oh, me? Dice. Dice all the way.
Yeah, Dice is pretty good.
Oh, man, he's got this bit about bowling people's titties down the street like bowling balls. I laugh all night long.
How about old school?
Dice?
Dice old school.
He's pretty old school.
It's just Dice. There's no one else. I mean, please. Have you heard Andrew Dice Clay?
Sure.
Yeah, well, then.
Many years ago, when I was working in television, I used to work at Good Day New York morning television, right? We got this new comic, Andrew Dice Clay, that nobody knew about, and he's going to come on the show. So we put him in a New York sports club.
Right.
And he wandered around for 2 hours in the New York sports club with me, smoking cigarettes and hitting on all the yuppies on the treadmill.
And I'm sure just cutting everyone to pieces. You can't stop Dice. He's fucking unstoppable.
That was the first time I had ever heard.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
In 1989, right before he broke huge. And I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Well, I gotta admit, he ain't the same as he used to be. But
but who is?
No, that's true. So speaking of diminishing returns, how many books you think you got in you, Paulie?
Three.
Exactly three? However, does that mean you will refuse to do a fourth one, or will you just put out some piece of shit that no one cares about?
No, I'll burn out.
Or like a greatest hits?
I'll do three, and then, I'll go crazy and go live in the woods and see the Unabomber or something. Or I'll start a new career. Maybe I'll get to this podcast and take full time.
Oh, hey, that reminds me, before I go, I wanted to pass along a piece of advice, if you don't mind, from the number one podcast show in the land.
That's very exciting.
I downloaded the I think it's an outtake chapter from your book on your website, like a little podcast.
Right.
And I gotta say, it was hard to make it through. It's just It's like you can tell, I've learned in my time as a podcaster, you can tell when somebody's just sitting down in front of their microphone talking. What I recommend you do if you record anymore is, honestly, this will work. Don't sit in a chair, right? Like, stand up, hold your mic, walk around,
get some energy.
Right, right. Even maybe even have someone in the room and read it to them. I swear to God, you will be able to tell. You will feel the difference of just the energy in the room. It makes all the difference in the world. Anyone out there with a boring podcast, and you fuckers know who you are.
You know who you are.
And unfortunately, we know who you are, too.
Yeah. Just get out of the chair. It's such a first... if you're fucking Keith Malley, then you can sit down. You've earned it.
You've earned the right to sit down.
But everybody else, just get up. You'll feel like you're more excited, and it'll come through, and I swear. That's
like
my
you're
advice.
Actually achieving something.
That's right.
Rock on. That's great advice.
So I assume your book is available as we speak.
It's available in stores now.
You got any final pitch you want to give to send people rushing out to buy it?
Nah.
that is the best response possible. Seriously, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing that would get me to go buy a book.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
seriously, like that's what I mean about like those quotes on the book, the stuff that stands out, you know. It's like, you can tell when somebody's trying too hard.
You were totally prepared for me to just go on.
Absolutely, to give me the like the word for word I was expecting the pulp novel,
the genuine, if you will.
Well, you know, if you want, I can get Nicole on the phone. She can provide.
She'll get her words backwards.
Thanks.
And be lucky to understand.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come on the show.
No problem. So the China Cloud Death Town Peril, everybody rush right out and buy it. Fantastic book, so I've heard, on Amazon from those who are not trying to sell it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for being on the show.
There's always that one person that will always have your heart. You never see it coming because you're blinded from the start. Know that you're the one for me. It's clear for everyone to see. Oh, baby. Ooh. You will always be
see,
my
I don't know about y'all, but I know about us. And it's the only way we know how to rock. I don't know about y'all, but I know about us. And it's the only way we know how to rock.
Do you remember, girl? I was the one who gave you your first kiss. Cause I remember, girl, I was the one who said put your lips like this. Even before all the fame and people screaming your name, girl, I was there and you were my baby. It started when we were younger, you were mine.
My boo.
Now another brother's taken, another brother's still in your eyes.
My boo.
Even though we used to argue, it's all fine.
Boy, the moment I knew you were the one I could spend my life.